this is Astro Dim here doing the full moon in Gemini reading. Hey y'all, what up? And the full moon just went totally exact, you know what I mean? It's 12:36 a.m. my time, the moon exact 12:12 a.m. my time. It's Eastern Standard Time, okay? So we're going to talk about this full moon. It's going to be interesting, to say the least. Let's just go ahead and just talk about it. It's like a big talk, okay? So this full moon is in Gemini, like I said before, 19 degrees, 51 minutes, December 12th. 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is very close to the exact degree and minute from the Taurus full moon from last month, but it was 19 degrees and 52 minutes. So very interesting, right? Very interesting. So it seems like that 19 degree is really important. It makes a lot of sense. 19 degree is a Libra degree, right? And Libra, as we know, is all about harmony, balance, and one-on-one relationships. And that's been a theme. We're technically still in cuffing season. We're heading towards the end, but cuffing season nonetheless. It's so funny that, like, we work with the energy of the astros by accident. And the reason why I say that is because people say cuffing season starts in fall, when autumn starts, and that's in our time in the northern hemisphere, the time in which the relationship signs, the sun reaches the relationship sign. So for instance, Libra is a relationship sign, Scorpio is a relationship sign, and Sag is a relationship sign. So, and people say that, you know, when it's winter, that's when cuffing season ends. So I picture the person that thought of the whole cuffing season idea didn't think about it astrologically, but they naturally pulled that information. So it's really funny. But anyways, let's talk about generally the meaning of this full moon. Just so we can kind of like realize like what this full moon is needed for, like what we need to do during this full moon. And for my new listeners who are not aware, right? So the meaning of the full moon literally is when the sun and the, this is astronomically speaking, when the sun and the moon is complete opposite of each other, you know? So the sun's in one end of the earth, the moon's in the other end of the earth. And because the sun can shine directly onto the bright side of the moon is in full view on Earth. You know what I mean? There's no shadows creating, making the moon change or whatever. It's just we see the full face of the moon, right? And of course, it's a monthly thing. It's significant to us. It's really important. Astrologically, it's the same thing. So when you look at a chart of the full moon, is when basically the moon's in one sign and the sun is in the opposite sign, or about six signs away from the moon, okay? And when you gotta get to the emotional aspect of it, usually what it represents is that we feel one way, but we react another, right? It's because our the moon is our emotions and how we feel about a certain situation. And it's our inner selves, the parts that we don't really let out and show to everybody besides people who we are comfortable with. And so it's kind of like our internal world. While the sun represents our reaction to things, you know what I mean? Not our like natural reaction to things before we think about it. It's like the reaction to things after we think about it, our conscious reactions. While the moon is more of our unconscious reactions, our subconscious reactions to things. Anyways, the sun, it represents like how we move, you know what I mean? How we react to things. And it also represents, I always like to say this, it also represents what the collective needs to be doing at this moment. And so, you know, the sun is our source, of the whole solar system. And so wherever the sun is, we need to follow that energy. That's why the sun is very important in astrology. That's why the sun sign is important. It's because the sun is the father. The sun is that gives us all the source, our light, our everything, you know, is because of the sun. And so it's also is known as the father in the relationship. It's known as the father in the in astrology, you know what I mean? And you know, we all revolve around the sun, and so we need to follow the energy of the sun regardless. And so even though we feel one way, we know that we have to react another. And so it's that pull that the full moon gives us, is that we're feeling completely opposite to what we're reacting to, what we feel like we need to react to. And so at this time, what we need to do is pull back, attend to our emotions for the next 3 days, right? Tend to our emotions and figure out what's holding us back. Why do we feel we have to feel this way? And how is it blocking us from really getting into the energy of the sun at the moment? You feel what I'm saying? And so, you know, that's generally astrologically and spiritually what the full moon represents. Us, you know, realizing, you know, some things that are pulling us back emotionally from reacting to how the collective needs to act. You know what I mean? The actions that the collective needs to take at the moment. Realizing, okay, something's pulling me back. I'm having this frustration from within and I need to deal with it. You know, think about it. You know, your emotions are one way, your feelings are another. This is what the term lunatic comes from. This is what the term werewolf comes from. You know what I mean? You feel one way, you act another, and then you react in a crazy way because you're so conflicted internally, you know? But yeah, that's generally what the full moon is. And during the full moons, after we like realize what's holding us back and why we feel the way we feel, and how we need to kind of release that thing, that feeling, so we can go ahead and continue to move with the sun, we release in the full moon. Okay, so you release all the problems that you're having, you release anything that's connected to, you know, your inner feelings with the sign in which the moon is in. And in this case, it's in Gemini. And so what I would say for this particular full moon is that internally, us as a collective, we want to work through our emotions logically, then speak on them. Okay, we need to figure, like, we kind of like see our emotions as thoughts almost, or maybe even that you feel something, right? You're feeling something emotionally and you're like, okay, why am I feeling this way? Instead of doing something about it, instead of like reacting to it, instead of, you know, expressing that emotion out, you're like, I feel this way, but why? And so you'd like to think, you know, your emotions out and then speak on them. You know what I mean? And then, you know, communicate those emotions out to try to figure out the why. So internally, you're in this vibe, right? But externally, you know that, and you want to express your passions unapologetically. And so there's this conflict within this whole energy, is that you want to be able to be more Sagittarian-like, feel something, do it, be adventurous, be spontaneous, and just like go for what you want, right? And we all know Gemini has some of that energy too, but they do, they don't really go off of passion, they go off of thought and exploration and logic. Like, yes, I want to explore, but I want to figure out the why. I'm not exploring because of passion, I'm exploring because I'm like curious. It's like Pandora type of vibes, you know what I mean? And so you know, it's like a different vibe here. It's an interesting full moon. It really is. And so you're kind of figuring out, should I move based off of logic and thought, or should I move based off of my passions? You know that it's Sagittarius season. You know, moving off of passion gives you really extreme amazing luck. Not that Geminis don't have luck too, but Sagittarius are known for being the luckiest sign, right? There's a reason for that. And you kind of just want to move based off of your passions and desires and your wants, you know? But you can't help but to wonder. You can't help but to think and be curious and try to figure out your emotions logically. So that's the fight that the collective is going through at this moment, okay? Now, the moon, like I said, is at 19 degrees Gemini, which means the sun is at 19 degrees Gemini when the full moon is exact, you know? Which will make it in the second decan of Gemini, which is the Libra decan, right? And it's really interesting because it's at the Libra degree and the Libra decan. So I feel like this is definitely involving relationships here. And it's funny because, like, I was just talking to one of my close friends about, you know, certain scenarios that's happening this week with, you know, people around us. And it's interesting how relationship is just a huge theme, and people expressing their emotions with relationships that they have or had or want. It's like a huge theme here, and it's because of that. It's because this moon is in a Libra decan, right? And it's in a Libra degree. And we are really trying to create harmony within our lives and within the relationships that we're in, whether it's romantic, platonic, or business relationships, you know, but it's significant ones. And so, yeah, that's a huge theme there. Now, the sun, okay, the sun is in Sagittarius second decan too, because it's a 19 degree Sag, and that's an Aries decan. Now, that's really interesting because emotionally we want to harmonize, connect with other people, speak on our emotions. But the sun wants us to react based off of our pure passion instinctually. So don't think, you know, you don't need to think before doing, you know, you need to let that go. You know what I mean? Because remember, like, the full moon's about releasing and shit. You need to let that go. You don't really need to think at this moment about your emotions. You don't need to talk to anybody to validate your emotions, to understand how you are feeling by hearing a different perspective. What you need to be doing is working more on the Sag and Aries fiery type of vibe. You feel something, you have this instinct for it, you fucking do it, okay? You go ahead and you fucking do it. Now, because this is in the Aries decan of Sag, you know, Sag is usually, they do something, they get into the vibe of it, they get bored, they jump. But Aries, the things that they are passionate about, they usually stay passionate about it, and they work towards it. And so this energy has a little bit more lasting power than usual. So it's an interesting thing. So this is even showing us, when we break it down a little bit more, how we need to not be so logical at this moment, kind of let that idea go, and to really focus more on our passions at this time. We need the heat. It's cold as fuck, okay? At least in the northern hemisphere. I know I got some folks listening in the southern hemisphere too. I know you guys are edging towards your summer, so y'all are good, you know? But up here, we're cold. But yeah, it's really interesting. And, you know, both of these energies, you know, it's the second decan. It's the middle energy of the sign. And so it's still a learning process for us. But it's at 19 degrees. That's the last degree of the second decan. And so we're getting into this maturity of realizing when to, you know, figure out your emotions logically and when to really move based off passion, you know? So it's really, really interesting energy for sure. And yeah, it's just really interesting. Very interesting. Now, some of the things I feel like we would need to let go of, besides just, you know, kind of creating this like general picture of like, you need to let go of, you know, that's the thing, okay, because I know I have, like, a lot of Gemini energy folks, Gemini moons, too, and, you know, I'm not saying that thinking before feeling is, like, the wrong thing to do, or feeling something and then just breaking it down logically is the wrong thing to do. But what I'm saying is you doing that too much can stop you from taking the instinctual actions that you need to take. Sometimes our desires and passions is very intuitive and instinctual, and sometimes we just need to go and do what we gotta do to fulfill our happiness and our desires, you know? And sometimes if we just are caught trying to figure out our emotions and thinking them through all the time and, confiding with people and trying to figure that shit out, the time will be too late. And then we don't even have that fire and energy that much anymore. And then after that, the opportunity is gone. We got to wait until the stars align again. Do you feel what I'm saying? And so what I definitely suggest you guys to do, with, you know, you have 3 days to figure this shit out, right? You got 3 days to the 15th. You know, you got 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, right? And this is the time where you get to really get into the Gemini moon vibe of thinking about your feelings, sharing them with others, talking, and just feeling okay to be talkative. Not feeling like held back and thinking that no one's just going to understand me. My situation is too crazy. My thoughts are too weird. No one's going to get me. No one's going to understand me. Cut that shit, okay? A lot of Gemini moons are like that in general, that people that have it natally, and so we might be feeling the same way. We need to cut the shit because it's blocking us. It really is, from being able to get our desires and act based off of our desires and our passion. And that's what we need to do, because fuck the sun's in Sagittarius, all right? So, you know, this beautiful energy within Gemini moons too, because, you know, yes, they think what they feel, but they can like break down their emotions in a logical way for people to understand very well. They are usually cool-headed and not as like erratic as like, say, fire and water moons. You know, I'm a fire moon, so I think thankfully I'm air dominant, and I'm a Capricorn sun, but like I have my moments, child, I do. And you know, you guys like try to work towards building balance within thought and feeling, which is amazing, because you know, you're just, you can break down and understand your emotions very well. So there's greatness about it, but you know, I feel like you guys need to use that energy. Feel okay that your thoughts are all over the place, as well as your emotions. And there's like a lot of changes and spontaneity within your thoughts and feelings. Like, that's okay, you know? Explore that within the next 3 days. And what I definitely suggest you guys to do is, while you're exploring that, write your intentions on the things you need to let go. You know what I mean? For this full moon. See where this moon is in your chart, what house it's in. Go with the energy of this moon and let go. Like, you know, write the intentions, the things to release and let go. You know, it's like, I'm way too much in my head. I want to let that go sometimes. You know, I just say, like, I don't want to let go of it completely. But when I'm unnecessarily into my head, I want to let that go. I want to be, take steps and make decisions and react appropriately. You know what I mean? If you feel like, you know, you're a little bit too spontaneous with your emotions sometimes, or with the thoughts of your set emotion, that you're thinking like, it could be this, it could be that, it could be this, it could be that. You know what I mean? If you want to just be a little bit more settled, you can actually let that go too. You know what I mean? If you don't want to communicate your feelings to that many people, you can try to let that go as well. So just, you know, think about the things you would like to let go connected to, you know, this Gemini moon. When it comes to, you know, you being too much in your head sometimes when it comes to how you feel. Or you just being in your head in general. With certain aspects of your life, depending on what house the moon is in. And just write down your intentions. That's what I would suggest you to do for the next 3 days. while the moon energy is still wild. Now, I kind of like what I personally do, y'all. I feel like this is what I personally think. You should write your intentions during a full moon, but I don't think it's a good idea to do rituals during a full moon like that. But that's just me personally. Again, I've done rituals in a full moon and it worked splendidly. And the reason why I think it worked splendidly is because, you know, oppositions and conjunctions, which is like a sun moon conjunction is a new moon, sun moon opposition is a full moon, right? So we're talking about oppositions here, but generally conjunctions and oppositions are very neutral, and it really depends on aspects being made to the moon or the sun that other aspects that make the opposition bad or good, right? Now, I'm going to speak on the last segment of this portion or this version of this reading. I'm going to speak on the aspects being made to this sun and the moon. And the aspects are terrible, okay? Okay, not terrible. Maybe I'm forcing it, but they're not great. They're bad at all bad aspects. There's no good aspects being made. All right, there's four in conjunctions. One in conjunction, I just want to add it there because I think it is going to affect us because it's not really an in conjunction, but I think that energy is going to be there for sure. But there's four in conjunctions and one square, okay? No trines, no sextiles, no even conjunctions. You know what I mean? Just all bad. All right, so this, especially doing a ritual during this full moon, I don't think it's the best idea. I don't. Because of the confusion that it will bring up, and because of you know, it's just gonna bring a lot of, like, with the inconjunctions, a lot of confusion and a lot of, like, unnecessary fight. So what I typically do, guys, because we're talking about the sun and the moon here, is I wait till the sun and moon is trine, or the sun and moon could be opposite, but I'll wait until it's at better aspects, like maybe not as many inconjunctions or something like that. So let's actually look at, like, a better time to do it. Now, I like to do write down my full moon intentions and stuff during the full moon because the energy is very potent. And then when, like, the moon and the sun is, like, sextile to each other, then I'm like, or trine to each other, then I'm like, okay, that's what I'll do. The, go ahead and do the, ritual of, like, you know, and usually with full moon rituals, a lot of people burn the paper. They're releasing the, intentions that they want to let go of, and so they burn it, right? And so, okay, let's look. The sun and the moon, they are going to be, they're going to be trine on the 16th, right? And so, like, this is dope energy because the sun is not going to be square Neptune anymore, so that's litty. The moon's not going to be square and not going to be making any touches with Neptune either. The sun is going to be conjunct Jupiter, so that's really cute. What else is happening here? Just looking around, y'all. The moon will be square Mars though, so if I were to, like, push it until when the moon is at, like, 26 degrees Leo, which is funny because that's near my natal moon. Oops, what am I doing? Okay, so let's, like, move this. I'm gonna give y'all a time. Like, I'm serious with this because I want us to be better at doing working with the moon, you know what I mean? Okay, so see, 25 and 26. All right, so the moon's gonna be, like, at 26 degrees Leo and not squaring Mars around, like, 8 o'clock p.m. my time. So that sounds good. And the sun's, of course, not moving. The sun doesn't move that fast. And so that's litty. Okay. And then I mean, the moon is going to be in conjunct Venus, which is kind of annoying, but I'd rather have an in conjunct than a square, so it's whatever. it just missed in conjunction with Pluto, Liddy. Yeah, so this is a good placement, y'all. It's actually even trining Uranus too. The moon would be. So yeah, so this is what I'll do, y'all. This is what I'm gonna do at least. And y'all can follow me if you want. Whatever. Write your moon, new, like your full moon intentions from now until the 15th. And then the 16th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, it's Eastern Standard Time for me, so you can figure out the time and where for where you're at. Do the ritual. And you'll be good. All right? So that's my, like, ritual suggestion for you. And that's what I'm going to do. All right? So, yeah, y'all. It's going to be dope. It's going to be some dope shit. All right? So let's go ahead and talk about these aspects. And then I'm going to close this version out of the reading. And if you're interested in being a Patreon subscriber, what I'm going to do is get deeper into this new moon and speak deeper within these situations. It's a lot. There's three aspect patterns happening. There's between the sun and the moon. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 fixed stars that are conjuncting either the sun or the moon separately, of course. It's 7 in total. Not 7 on each one, you know what I mean? And then, so I'm going to talk about that, and then I'm also going to talk about the sun and the moon in the houses, right? So basically, if like the sun's in this house and the moon's in that house for you, what does that mean to you for this full moon? What do you need to release and what you need to push forward towards? You get what I'm saying? So that could help you a little bit more with your intentions. But that's only for my Patreon subscribers. And so if you're interested in being a Patreon subscriber, I definitely suggest you to do so on patreon.com/astrodem. I got it on the low, you know what I mean? The first, you know, $2 is the first one. It's the first level. So, you know, I'm trying to serve y'all people, you know. So if you're interested, go ahead. All right, so let's talk about these aspects being made to the moon and the sun. All right. So both the sun and the moon, this is the main one here. Both the sun and the moon is square Neptune. All right. Now this is tough ass energy. It really is. Neptune represents a lot of things. But like what a lot of people say at first when they see Neptune, it's like delusions and confusion, but intuition and blah, 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 right? And so, you know, Neptune definitely has a connection with like spirituality and intuition, you know, being empathic and stuff like that. That's why, you know, Neptune's connected to Pisces. A lot of Piscean people are very naturally empathic and intuitive. It's because of that energy, right? But the thing is that, like, you know, empathicness and intuition and psychic ability can easily be misconstrued. A lot of times we can get messages from the universe, from God, from our ancestors, and then totally screw it up, and it'll be lost in translation because they're in one realm and we're in another. You know, we're in the physical realm, they're in the spiritual realm. We're in 3D, they're in like 5D, 4D, 6D, 7D, 8D, 9D, 11, all them shits, right? You know what I mean? And so, like, with this energy, with Neptune squaring both the sun and the moon, there's definitely going to be lost, you know, confusion within translation, okay? In which we're picking up these messages, we're getting these visions, we're getting these dreams, we're getting these ideas, and it seems almost magical that it's happening, and it's incredible. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck is going on here, right? And we're even going to be motivated and driven to do something about this, right? Because, you know, Neptune's going to be trying Mars, and so we're gonna be like, yeah, this is right, but it's not going to be right. It's going to cause confusion within us, and we're going to fight, honestly. The universe is honestly fighting against it for us. We're just literally not getting the right message. And that's just what it is. Like, we're getting the right message, but we're not interpreting it right. You know what I mean? That's why spirituality is what it is. It's just so, it gets so deep that we can't conceptualize it sometimes. And so we try to conceptualize it with our little logical 3D minds, and we just lose the whole meaning of it. You know, spirituality could definitely be a hyperbole where things are really exaggerated and crazy when we see it. But it actually is not that deep. But it is trying, it does have a bigger meaning and a great message within it that is very helpful for us. And so that's definitely going to be happening in this case. With Neptune square the moon, you know, we're definitely going to be personally being empathic and feeling certain emotions, but interpreting them wrong. And it's going to cause conflict. And so, for instance, say that, like, my friend said a joke about me, and I'm, you know, mad, and I feel the energy of the joke, and I get mad, and I'm thinking that, oh, she got beef with me, she don't even like me like that, or he got beef with me, he don't like me like that, he's shady as fuck. And I, you know, it's kind of like that, like you totally interpreting shit the whole wrong way, but they were really just joking, and they just like to rag on people sometimes, like to rag on you sometimes. It's kind of like that type of energy, but it could happen in so many different ways, right? And so we're actually learning, because again, it's about letting go and releasing with the full moon. We're learning to be able to differentiate and use discernment when it comes to intuitive and empathic messages that we get. Because you know when you get deeper into the spirituality game, really get deep within that, you know, and if you're not really protected like that spiritually, you can get some fucked up messages from like trickster energy or negative energy or low vibrational energy. And so you're go ahead blindly following it and causing havoc. It's similar to how sometimes people with like mental illnesses hurt others and say, I was supposed to do this, God wanted me to do it, God didn't tell me to do it. They're actually, and the people that probably did what they did are actually probably lovely people. But the thing is, trickster energy tricked them into thinking that. You know what I mean? It gets deep like that sometimes, y'all. And so we're learning to, through this conflict within ourselves of empathically feeling things and us being just dead ass wrong with it. No, it's not that intuition is wrong, psychic energy is false, like empathicness ain't real. No, it's not that. It's we need to take that situation and learn how to use discernment when it comes to the messages that we get, as well as we need to learn how to be able to interpret them better. And this is just telling us that we need to do that. You feel what I'm saying? So I even went through a similar situation there, and I was like, no, I'm gonna keep pushing. I'm gonna just keep pushing, especially with this Gemini moon energy. You're thinking too much about something that's not even that deep. You feel me? And then with the Neptune also square the sun, how are you gonna react to it? You're gonna go based off passion, and you're gonna like spaz the fuck out. Have you ever seen a Sagittarius get mad and flip the fuck out? Okay. And so like that's gonna happen because off of some shit that you're interpreting wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, chill out. Shit, this is supposed to be a lesson within it. You know, that's why it's like, you know, when it comes to these type of full moons, I'm not saying to just lock yourself in your room, but you have to, like, you know, really understand the energies that's going around, you know, and understand sometimes our emotions can trick us, like this situation right here. But this is why we have tools like tarot, astrology, and other divinational tools that can help us with this situation. You feel what I'm saying? And so, you know, that's what's happening, like straight up. And so just be aware of that, okay? Be very aware. And know too, like the full moon definitely is potent, and we can work with it within the next 3 days. But it speaks on like the month of things that we need to let go of that month. But it also definitely speaks on too the next 2 weeks until the solar eclipse happens, you know? And so just be aware of that throughout this whole time, throughout this whole month, okay? Now, the next aspect I see is that the moon is in conjunct Mars and the sun is semi-sextile Mars. Now, in conjunctions and semi-sextiles just represents like real deep confusion. Semi-sextile is a little bit aware because, like, usually with semi-sextiles, the sign is, the planet is just one sign away. It's just 30 minutes away from the other. You know what I mean? So just one sign away. They're usually of the same season. If they're not, they're just transitioning to a new season. So there's some awareness of that energy. But in conjunctions, they're not in the same modality, element, or season. They're just all the way confused, okay? And so that's what's really happening with this energy. And so with the moon in conjunct Mars, right? When it comes to your actions, you would rather be more in tune with your emotions and kind of stew within your emotions. And in order for you to actually take action, you need to be extremely emotionally motivated. And you need to really be emotionally convinced. You know, with fixed energy, they need to be convinced in order to make a move. And so they usually stay in one spot, be fixated, i.e. the fixed word, and like really try to understand the situation based on the element before they make a move. And so Scorpio energy, they're trying to really understand the situation emotionally before they take a move, right? And so that's how we're moving at this moment with Mars and Scorpio. We're on that type of vibe. Now, it could be short term, depending on our chart, it could be short term or long term for us. But there's one aspect within our lives in which we, before we're moving, we're stewing within our emotions, trying to understand if we're doing the right thing emotionally, and if we really want to create that big transformation within our lives. You get what I'm saying? But emotionally, you know, beyond just our passions and desires and how we move emotionally, we don't want to stew in one emotion in one situation. We're like feeling emotion and then thinking, could it be this? Could it be that? Could it be this? Could it be that? Could it be this? Could it be that? And trying to logically understand our emotions to figure out the why instead of just sitting our emotions and expressing it. You know, instead of expressing our emotions, we were willing to detach from it and understand why we're feeling that way. But in order for us to, at this time, to really make moves, what we need to do is feel why we want to make that move, understand it emotionally. You know what I mean? And sit within that emotion until we know, okay, this is why I want to do it. Now I do something, you know, instead of just like thinking, is it this, is it this, is it that, is it that, you know what I mean? And so we're kind of having that confusion within us because we know we want to move like Mars and Scorpio at this time. We want to sit in our emotions, express that emotion, and then like be motivated by it instead of just trying to figure out the why we're feeling this way in a logical sense. And so it is some disconnect between our emotional selves and the actions that we want to take. You know, there's definitely some disconnect there, all right, which is making us stand still even more tricky as shit. And with the sun actually semi-sextile Mars, you know, there is still some confusion there because, you know, with the sun, you know, when it comes to reacting to things and how we are expressing ourselves, we want to be more adventurous and following our passion and desires unapologetically. But when it comes to actually making the move and taking action, like literally making that move and connected to things that we are desiring, you know, we actually really want to, before creating a big transformation, understand what we're doing emotionally before we go ahead and make the move. And so there's like, we want to express ourselves in this like more adventurous way. But when, you know, at the same time, we know like in order to take action, we need to know if this is right emotionally, because we know we can really induce some huge transformation. So again, some confusion there, but at least there's some understanding that we're doing this to better understand the relationships that we in and how we relate to other people, and really understand, like, in the true experience of just life in general, you know. So very deep shit there for sure. The sun is semi-sextile. Saturn, exactly. And the moon is also in conjunct Saturn, exactly. Wow. With this energy, of course, Saturn's been really big about us having authority, control over our status, reputation, career, and just how we just make moves, you know. Just learning to have more control overall and having more authority within ourselves overall, you know. And the thing is, it's like how we, it's basically, you, Saturn's trying to tell us, like, you need to have authority by moving practically, like initiating things within your life practically. That's how you have authority within your life. That's how you can gain that shit. But with the moon in Gemini, there's a confusion there, because again, they feel something and they don't want to take a move necessarily on a practical sense. They're trying to understand things in a logical sense. So it's like, yes, I know I need to do something, but I need to figure out why first before I do it. That's how a Gemini person would think. While Capricorn's like, okay, something needs to be done, so we got to do something. They don't really, they understand the why is important, and they'll try to figure out the why, but they know things need to be done, even if, because you may not even get the answer. You may not even understand the why, you know? And so emotionally, you're trying to understand why you're feeling away. While you know that in general, regardless, you need to make action in order to really have control over a situation. You know what I mean? And in order for you to have some authority and be able to express that authority within. And so that's the confusion there. And so Saturn, especially Saturn's moving so slow, is really saying, like, all right, I understand you're trying to figure out the why, and maybe you can do that at a later time. Maybe you can put it in the back burner and figure out it simultaneously, but an action need to be made in order for you to, you know, assert yourself in the situation, you know, really express some control within the situation. And with the sun semi-sextile Saturn, you know, the sun likes to take action, but not practically. They like to go based off of their emotion. And so it's a little bit tricky, because we do need to follow the sun, but at the same time, Saturn's been trying to teach us for a couple of years, like about, no, not a couple of years, but about a year or so, more than a year. No, it's been actually a year, has it? I think so. Something like that. But Saturn's been trying to teach us for a while, okay? That, yo, what you need to do is move things practically. But at this time, you know, since, you know, it's kind of like the battle of the dads. Like, Saturn's probably more of a stepfather, and Sun is like the father, you know what I mean? Something like that, I don't know. But, you know, we do need to, like, take both energies into account. You know, and I think when it comes to this, when it comes to expressing our authority, we need to take action and in a practical way. But when it comes to expressing that energy, we do need to really try to go, like, express our passions unapologetically, honestly, to just feel this passion to do something and go ahead and do it. However long you want, and then when you're done, you know, and that's okay. The moon is in conjunct Venus, and the sun is semi-sextile Venus. At the moment, right now, what we desire is to have authority and control over our lives, right? That's what we're desiring. And we're desiring to have some a relationship to have authority and control, or to have authority and control within a relationship. We're desiring as well to have authority and control over the things, like, practical or material things that we want, and the money that we want. that's really important to us at this moment. Because again, we desire authority and control in every aspect of the word. That's what we are striving for. And we're realizing that it takes practical action making, or action taking, excuse me. Is that a word? Action taking? Taking action is probably the best way to say it. But anyways, we need to practically take action in order to get that thing. You know, whatever it is that we desire. But with this moon, it's kind of hindering us because we're still trying to figure out, but why? Why do I feel that I need to desire this thing? You kind of need to just let that shit go. So if, again, this moon is all about just letting go of thoughts that are holding you back from taking action, whether it's practically, whether it's based off of passion, whether it's based off of emotion. You're too emotionally focused on like why, on the why. And honestly, logic is very, very important, but at this moment, just because is okay. You know what I mean? Like, again, you can just figure out use your logic to figure out how can I do this, but just want to do something just because at this moment is okay. You know, look at the chart right now. There is only one energy that's in air signs. Nothing's in Aquarius, nothing's in Libra. It's just the moon in Gemini. All right. And so the moon needs to kind of realize that, yo, it's okay sometimes to just for the reason to be just because, you know, it's okay. You can figure out the why while you're taking action. You can work out this energy simultaneously. So if you're having any thoughts, logical thoughts that's stopping you from taking action, ask to let that go during this full moon. Okay. I think it's really important. Because you're going to lose out on your desires if you don't. Straight up. All right. Now the sun is also in semi-sextile Venus. And, you know, I feel like with this energy, it's a little bit awkward because, you know, you need to take practical action to get that authority within your life. But, you know, if you kind of express, you know, what you want a little bit more and kind of just go for it unapologetically, you might have a better chance of getting in that authoritative situation. You know what I mean? And if you just do it in a responsible way. And then people can see what you want, understand what you want through how you express yourself and how you react to things. And then they'll keep that in mind. And then after that, you can move move practically, initiate things practically in order to make it happen. You know what I mean? Just a thought, boo. Lastly, the moon is in conjunct Pluto and the sun is semi-sextile Pluto. With Pluto, again, having a lot of transformation of authority here. Huge transformation within authority. It's like in a grand scale when it comes to just the universe. It's in a, you know, smaller but still grand scale when it comes to the world. And it's even personal, too. We're trying to transform the authority from within as well, you know, to have more authority within our life. And realizing that we have to come together in order to create that positive transformation of authority within our lives. Create this good intimacy with other energy. You know, you're stronger with numbers. And so that's kind of like the lesson within Pluto and Capricorn at the moment. Creating transformation and intimacy within your lives. And through being practical. You know what I mean? Through taking, initiating action practically. And stop just standing still and just doing something, you know? But again, the moon is still stuck on the why. We're doing this though. Why is this happening though? And again, air sign energy is beautiful because, you know, they're known as the intelligent signs because they always ask the why, you know, because they will, you know, they rather figure things out logically, you know what I mean? And if they can't get things breaking down, they're going to find it out and figure it out. And I get it and I understand it. But at this time, we all know there's something wrong and that it needs to be fixed. And it needs to be fixed sooner than later. And so again, like, I don't even think it's wrong to try to figure out why you're feeling things emotionally. I think that's great that you're trying to understand it logically. But put it in the back burner for now and do something to create that change within your life. You feel me? That's really, really important. Okay? So that's what I have for you guys. This is a typically longer, almost an hour. So that's crazy. Y'all are blessed. A longer reading for me, but I'm glad I'm able to give that to you. Again, if you're interested in hearing the entire reading, formal reading that I'm going to give you, but it's again, it's a general reading. You can go ahead and go to patreon.com/astrodim, and, you know, look at my tiers, figure out which one is best for you, and go ahead and purchase monthly, and you'll be able to get a full reading in which I'm going to speak on the aspect patterns being made during this full moon, the fixed stars hitting the full moon, which is really going to add some more color into this situation and how we're feeling right now. And then to make it a little bit personal, I'm going to go through the full moon through the houses so you can know how it's personally affecting you. All right. I hope this was helpful, guys. Much love to you. And yeah, you'll hear from me soon. Stay safe and much love to you guys, okay? Peace. Hey y'all, this is Astro Dim here. I'm just adding this extra segment to talk about a little bit more about the full moon because, you know, it is significant. It is the last full moon of the whole ass decade. The fuck? and of course, the last full moon of the year. And so, you know, just in general, with any last full moon of the year, or especially last full moon of the decade, this is a great time to like clear all your karmic shit out so you can start this next decade and the next year clear with a brand new slate, just shit all settled, you know. You know, I've noticed a lot of like crazy shit has been happening this month. A lot of death, a lot of sadness. It is strange because Sagittarius season strangely brings a lot of like death, if you've noticed. And it's really interesting. And you know, for instance too, like a lot of people think Jupiter returns are lovely. Sometimes they are and sometimes they are not. A lot of people be dying in their Jupiter returns and it's like a trend. So I'm not saying that you're going to die in your next Jupiter return. Of course, we go through many of them in our lifetimes. But, you know, Jupiter definitely has a darkness into it as well. It's not just all cheery, lovely, and beautiful. Same as Sag season. And so, you know, this, I think the reason why this is happening is because we're clearing things out. Even though the calendar, like for a lot of people starts when spring starts, you know, we've been having this calendar with the year starting January 1st for thousands of years at this point. And it's significant. And so we have to count for it. And so I think a lot of the endings happen at that time because of that, you know, and we're thinking about like for the Northern Hemisphere, a winter solstice. We're closing things out. Things are really like dead that's around us. We're seeing the ending part of the transformation through even through our plants. You know what I mean? And so, you know, that's really significant. And even with like the Southern Hemisphere, you know, for you guys, y'all are turning into summer. You know, summer is, you know, has like beautiful and lush energy, but things die in the summer too, from too much heat, you know. So regardless, there's just this ending type of vibe. Even if you don't follow the Gregorian calendar, And I think that's why, like, you know, things truly do be ending at that time. It's the end of a season. No matter, you know, regardless which season that you're in, it's the end of a season. It's the end of a year. Definitely an end of a decade this time around, okay? And so this is really important for you guys to really just, if you can, clear out all the shit that you can possibly. Write it, like, again, to make it less drastic. And of course, I'm saying this if you're questioning when to do your full moon ritual. If you know if you want your full moon ritual and the full moon, go ahead and do it, boo. I'm not stopping you, whatever. But if you want to, you know, if you're questioning it, or if you like to follow electional astrology, what I definitely suggest for you to do is to write it all down within the next 3 days. And then, you know, on Monday the 16th, when the moon is in Leo, but when the moon is in like 26 degrees Leo that I said, that's when you guys should do the ritual, when the energy is a little bit more balanced and clear. You feel what I'm saying? You can even wait a little bit longer too, so you can avoid that whole in conjunction of Venus if you want to. You know what I mean? Let's look at the time it will be, you know, when you can do that. Hold on 1 second. Because the moon will stop in conjuncting Venus. Oh, Venus is moving to 26 degrees. Okay. So it'll be 0 degrees Virgo. And it'll still be trining the sun. So if you really want to avoid the whole, if you really wanted to avoid the in conjunction, I would say do the ritual like the 17th. Early morning, though, if you have that availability. It'll be trying Jupiter, too, so that's really cute. Yeah, I think I might fuck around and do that instead. Shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. That's how I think I'm going to do that. Be trying Jupiter, trying Uranus. Sextile the North Node, trying the South Node. Yes. Fucking trying the Sun, my nigga. The fuck? But be careful, though, because you can, if you do it too late in the morning, it could be square Mercury. So you have this tight spot between 8 o'clock in December 16th and early morning December 17th. So that's your little spot, all right? That's what I'm going to suggest to you. Because at 4 a.m., the moon goes into 1 degree Virgo, but then after that, it's squaring Mercury. You don't want that either. So, yeah. Figure it out, boo. You either got to deal with the in conjunction, which is like, in conjunctions are annoying, but they're nowhere near as bad as squares. Or you got to wake up in the middle of the night to do the ritual. Or you got to, you know, deal with that moon square Mercury. So, figure it out, okay? That's what I'm going to tell you. But anyway. So, actually, I came here to talk about the number 12, okay? So, I wanted to read this little note that the Sacred Scribes Angel Numbers website has about the number 12. I just wanted to give you that just little word real quick. I like to use this website when I look at angel numbers. It's incredible. And I resonate with it greatly. Okay, so let me read this off to you. Number 12 is a blend of the attributes and energies of the number 1 and number 2. Number 1 relates to the new beginning, to motivation, progress, self-reliance, achievement, and attainment, right? We're starting off a new freaking year as well as a new decade. Number 2 carries the vibrations of duality, diplomacy, adaptability, partnership, relationship, sensitivity, and selflessness. And remember how I was saying, y'all, how this is happening during in a Libra decade. You know, the Gemini full moon is in a Libra decade and it's in a Libra degree. So it's like you coming in with another person to create this new beginning, almost like a form of intimacy, but like not there yet. You know what I mean? It's getting to the intimacy part, but it's the coming together that's happening. And that coming together may not be with another person. It could be with another energy, another entity, another situation. You know what I mean? But you're coming together with something or someone or some energy or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Number two also resonates with faith and trust in and your own divine life purpose and soul mission. All right. Number 12 represents cycles of experience and regeneration towards a higher consciousness. Okay. Knowledge and higher wisdom, sensitivity, education, and the intellect. The goal-getting number one blended with the sensitive number two makes the number 12 a very balanced number. So it's funny. My homegirl from Soul Tribe, OJC Astrology, Olivia. Love you, boo. She was actually mentioning how we're pushing towards a higher consciousness. You know what I mean? And that we really have to just let go of our karmic, like, issues and, like, flesh that shit out so we can go ahead and vibrate more higher. And then Water Baby Tarot was saying something similar where, like, people, you know, you gotta really let go of karmic stuff. Because if you don't, it's going to all crash down on your face and it's going to be quite intense. But if you've been consciously working on it, it's not going to be that bad. Or if you've just really been working on it well, you're not going to deal with it. It's going to be almost split between two groups. That's what Water Baby Tarot was saying in her message. So, you know, this theme of like higher consciousness, karmic energy, life purpose, divine purpose is a huge theme here. Okay, so let me continue reading. Angel number 12 is a message from your angels not to be hindered by old habits that need to be changed, y'all. Like I was fucking saying, it tells you to look to a new experiences with optimism as they will bring about favorable and positive effects and opportunities. This helps with achieving goals and aspirations and allows for the old to be replaced with the new. Amen, amen. I've been seeing that theme within my personal life for sure. When the angel number 12 appears, your angels may be telling you to look to different ways to enhance your home, garden, and surrounds. This includes matters within the house and family arena. The angels encourage you to surround yourself with the love and gaiety. Angel number 12 is a message from your angels to ensure that what you put out to the universe is of positive nature. We got to start thinking more positively, y'all, with our emotions, our subconscious, all of that. You know, when you put positive energy out, you get positive energy in. And I don't want to hear, well, I'm a good person. I always do good for people and no one does good for me. That right there is negative thinking. Why are you counting who does good for you versus who does good for me? If you ain't doing shit from the heart, it ain't real. You know what I mean? Like, you got to do shit from the heart and let it the fuck go. That right there is not good. That right there is saying what I always do this for people. Like, why are you counting, nigga? You know what I mean? Like, why are you counting? Like, just do good. Just do it from the heart and let it the fuck go. You know what I mean? You don't know what the good thing that's about to happen to you. You're blocking it by, first of all, counting who's doing what for you and what are you doing for them. And then this just the negative thought of no one does good for me. That in itself, like, just because you're not, like, going out here killing people and doing wrong by people and, like, consciously fucking over people, the negative thought of no one does for me, you're putting that out in the universe. You get what I'm saying? You're putting that out in the universe so no one will do good for you until you change your frame of mind. Do you feel what I'm saying? Stop, y'all. I hate when people do that. Like, I used to be surrounded by people who always was doing that, counting who does good for them versus, you know, them doing good for other people, them saying how they're such a good person. You know, if you continuously repeat what you are, like, now I start to think, are you convincing yourself? You're trying to convince yourself that you're this person or not? Like, or you're trying to convince me? Like, it's like the people that always says I'm humble. Like, if you gotta say you're humble all the damn time, you ain't humble. Okay, that's weird. You're literally going against the word. If you keep repeating who you are, it's just strange, child. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I feel like I understand, like, some people gotta say, yes, I'm this, I'm that. But if it's like a consistent thing you're doing pretty much like every day, every other day, every week, like, come on, my dude. Like, chill the fuck out. I don't know. That's just me. Anyways. Let me say this one more time. Angel number 12 is a message from your angels to ensure that what you put out to the universe is of positive nature. You are asked to stay on the positive path and to use your natural skills, talents, and abilities to their utmost for the benefit of yourself and others. Amen, amen. It gives me this vibe, y'all, of Neptune. Now, let me give you the speech real quick before I end this, all right? Alright, so I always tell people that Neptune, yes, it's your self-undoing, self-sabotaging ways, blah, 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 is connected to, you know, deception, illusions, confusions, intuitive energy, spirituality, blah, blah, blah. But it's also, what I personally feel, is because, you know, you think about Neptune, Neptune is the highest octave or higher octave of Venus, right? So when you think about Neptune in a spiritual connections and it be connected with Venus, which Venus is so connected to like natural talents and shit, right? That Neptune represents your God-given talents, but your God-given talents are what you're self-doubtful about. And so a lot of us have a lot to offer for the world and for the collective consciousness, and we refuse to do it. And this is including myself. I need to get better at this. I literally got a message from my grandmother who has passed, who told me I need to work on this, okay? So I'm in this too, y'all. I'm not just talking on this like podium, acting like I'm higher than everybody else. Nah, I need work, okay? I do too. But listen, Neptune represents that God-given talent that you have that you're self-doubtful about. Now, ain't that a bitch that you don't got enough faith in God to utilize the gifts that he gave to you to make your life better and make other people's lives better? Ain't that a fucking bitch? Humans are trash, y'all. I'm saying this as a joke, but seriously, like, we need to think about it like that. You know, God has given us a gift, a talent, and we are being self-doubtful on what mere humans are saying who are just like you. And we're not utilizing our natural God-given gifts because of what other people said who are just in the same level as you. Mind you, the supreme God has given you this gift. This shows that we need to work on our faith as a collective. It does. It shows that we need to be better to each other as a collective too. But it shows that we need to learn how to not be doubtful of God. It's God we're talking about. The highest, the most highest ever, okay? Our creator, all right? It's important not to be self-doubtful when it comes to the natural gifts that you have, all right? So, and it's really interesting because, you know, this full moon, they're both squaring Neptune. It's making a T-square to Neptune. And so a lot of the push and pull that we are receiving is due to Neptune and due to our own disillusions, due to our own self-doubt. But I'm going to talk about that with my patrons, you know. But it's interesting how that reminded me, just that word she said, remind me of the energy of Neptune while this full moon is making its only major aspect to Neptune. So that's really crazy. So just something to think about, but I just wanted to give y'all that little energy there. You know, 12 is really important in general, because, you know, with the Mayan calendar, wasn't it 12-12-12? Wasn't that the date? It was supposed to be the end of the era, you know? And so this is really a mini end for us too. It is. Do you guys want me to look at 12-12 as well? Read that off? I think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to read 12-12 off for you two guys. And then we're going to, and then I'm going to end it here. Okay. Let me read off 12-12. Okay. 12-12 is a compilation of the energies of the number 1 appearing twice, amplifying its vibrations, and the attributes of 2 also appearing twice, magnifying its influences. Number one instills the attributes of creation and new beginnings, courage, attainment, inspiration, self-leadership, assertiveness, and initiative. Number one relates to creating our own realities with our thoughts, beliefs, and actions. It encourages us to step out of our comfort zones in order to attain our goals. Number two represents balance and harmony, duality, faith, devotion, insight, cooperation, adaptability, and diplomacy, partnership, and relationships. Number two also resonates with faith and trust, what I was just saying, y'all. And serving your divine life purpose and soul mission. Jesus Christ. The sinks are incredible. Angel number 1212 is a message from your angels that you are to stay focused on your highest expectations as the angels in the universe energies work behind the scenes, helping you to manifest your wants and needs, goals and desires. Angel number 1212 is a powerful sign that you are to step out of your comfort zone and take new directions and or begin new projects and ventures that you have been wanting to do for a long time now. Oh my God, it speaks to me, guys. Angel number 1212 encourages us to release our fears and apprehensions and get on with pursuing our passions and purpose. Amen, amen. Angel number 1212 acts that you stay on a positive path and to use your natural skills, talents, and abilities to their utmost for the benefit of yourself and others. Use positive affirmations and visualizations to enhance energies and draw them towards you. The more you focus on the positives, the quicker they are manifested into your reality. Ashe, ashe. I'm going to end it off here, y'all. Have a beautiful full moon, and I love you all. Peace.